hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. Welcome, everybody, to the show. We're talking gardening. I'm talking as much off the air this morning as on the air. It seems there was... first of all, let me tell you that this hour is brought to you by More Tree Care, a company that we work with here in North Texas. That is a company that does tree care like we recommend it, the natural organic approach. And so if you need any tree help at all, and this is a great time to get not only some planting done and transplanting, like I was talking about in the first hour of the show, but it's also the perfect time of the year to do pruning because the foliage is still on the deciduous trees. You can see what's dead and what's problem stuff a lot better now than when they're all bare and everything, you know, is in the same condition, looks about the same. So if you've been thinking about having some tree work done, they're the company that I recommend that you call moretree.com. And wherever you are in the country, same thing for the arborist, the quality arborist near you, time to get that kind of work done on evergreens as well as deciduous trees. And those of you around the country that have an arborist, a tree care company that you recommend that is into some of the organic techniques that we talk about, you know, the trunk flare exposure, the air spade work, things like the More Tree Care does, organic fertilization programs and all that. Let us know. Let me know about them. We'd like to know who they are and where they are because people are asking us for recommendations all the time. So let us know. info@dirtdoctor.com is where you would send that information. Anyway, what David and I were talking about was that I looked up he was a caller in the first hour, and I looked up the product that he brought up, which is called Hydroseed, and it has mycorrhizae, mycorrhizal fungus in it, and some other beneficial things apparently as well. I'm not familiar with it, with the exact product, but it looks good, and I don't have any issue with it at all. David was asking me what other techniques are there for nematode control. I have always recommended orange peelings. Save your orange and other citrus peelings and mix them into the beds when you plant. And he was saying that they haven't been able to get enough volume of that. And I was telling him that what can do the same thing is to apply mycorrhizae products like he's talking about there, either with that product or you can use the Garrett Juice Pro or you can use your own Garrett Juice mix and buy just a specific mycorrhizal fungus product and add that in. But every time you do a liquid application, and this was a question he was asking me right as we ran out of time talking, if you put it in at about an ounce per gallon of water of concentrated orange oil, every time you water, it won't kill the beneficial microbes at that rate that you're putting in. You might be able to go up to two ounces. You can kind of play with it, experiment with it a little bit, but at 1 ounce, it definitely won't do that. At 1 ounce, it will stimulate biological activity in the soil and build up the same kind of control of root knot nematodes that putting orange pulp in a dry, bulky way would do if you've had trouble with that. There's another product. It used to be owned by a small private company, and I think they've sold out to one of the larger, maybe chemical companies, so I don't know how easy it is to find. But if you can find it, another product that will help you with root knot nematodes is called Actinovate, and I'm pretty sure it's spelled Actinovate. Actinovate, we have used... Malcolm Beck and I both through the years have played with it, the original owner, and the three of us were trying it on various things, and we saw it reverse a really bad root knot nematode infestation in some okra plants and some other things. It's better as a preventative than a cure, so just for whatever it's worth, that product may still be out there. Okay, let's see. 866-444-3478 is the phone number. There was one thing I wanted to talk about. I didn't talk in the first hour about the fact that this is also a wonderful time to get the herb garden and the vegetable garden going. The cool season plants, transplants can still be planted. The seed of certain crops, the leafy vegetables and things, carrots, can still be planted. You're still in the window for the perfect time to plant garlic, and I recommend that everybody plant garlic. It may be the most important crop that we talk about. It's beautiful. It can be used in the perennial garden. The flowers are terrific. Foliage is nice as well. And then, of course, the garlic bulbs and cloves can be used in your own homemade garlic pepper tea, can be used in your food. It's a medicinal plant. It's just great in every way and one of the easiest plants to grow, especially in an organic program. Put those cloves or the little golden corms, bulblets that attach to the bottom of big bulbs in the ground right now. Pointy end up is the ideal thing, but I usually just toss them in sideways. I also usually leave seed and corms and some cloves in the garden from the current crop to come back for the next year's crop, so we always have some garlic going. Super easy plant to grow, and I recommend it highly. Let me see where we are. John's turn, I believe, in Fort Worth, listening on 660 The Answer. Hi, John.
Hello, Howard. My family this week lost a 14-year-old golden retriever.
Oh, man. Sorry.
And
that's a great life, though, 14 years.
Oh, wonderful friend. My wife wants to plant a flowering tree as a tribute.
Okay.
So we've been Googling. We got a short list of trees I wanted to run by for.
Okay.
But my environment, I got a great big yard. I have no irrigation system. I'm in southwest Fort Worth.
Okay.
I got heavy clay soil, lots of rocks, and full sun. And I'm kind of a benign neglect kind of organic guy. I get fertilizer probably once a year.
I got you.
And I get rain. So it's got to be fairly tough. The list that my wife has come up with, the first one that caught her eye because it flowers so long through the year is a desert willow.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that in my environment?
That's a good choice. Some people don't like the the kind of open character of it, the bushy character of it. It's, you can trim it into a tree without any problem, but it's a good one. I think I would have it high on the list for this specific thing, especially if you don't like to water a whole lot.
And it's okay in the clay soil?
Oh, yeah, it'll do fine. It's growing all over the place in the North Texas area and in kind of arid situations across Zone 8.
Okay. Another tree she has, she found something online called the Lavender Twist Weeping Redbud. It's really small, but it looks really pretty amazing.
It's a beautiful tree. My neighbors right across the street planted one in kind of a little xeriscape garden that they did, and it's beautiful. The leaves on it are shiny, which tends to indicate to me that it was probably a sport from Oklahoma redbud. Uh-huh. Which is a good one. It also has really dark purple flowers, which would indicate that that's its genetics. So I think that's a good one. It's more of a, unless you do quite a bit of trimming on it, that weeping redbud looks more like a bush than a tree. That's the only thing I would warn you about.
Yeah, it's also, it says 4 to 10 feet tall, so.
That's probably about right. It's pretty compact and tends to grow down more than up, yeah.
Really pretty, though.
Oh, it's great. You might want to plant one or two of them anyway, but not have it as the tree for the dog's memory that you're talking about.
The last one on our list, and this one kind of caught my eye, is called the Prairie Fire Flowering Crabapple.
That would be a good one. The crab apples in our area are in the B-plus range. I've always had them in my plant books. I think that they're fantastic. Some of the ones that are in the Highland Park area of Dallas that have been there a long, long time are my favorite. They're called Floribunda, and they're a little harder to find. They're kind of the old-timey one varieties before they started doing a lot of hybrids like you're talking about. I think it would be fine. I don't think it's bulletproof like some of the natives. You know, you're talking about natives when you're talking about redbud and the desert willow. It's not a native here. So just put that one there. I tell you, I've got a couple more I might suggest to you. Do you mind holding with me?
Oh, yes, sir.
Hold on, and I'll be back with you after this break, okay? And anybody wants to call, we've got an open line for you at 866-444-3478. I'm the Dirt Doctor. The website is dirtdoctor.com. I'll be right back after this.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals to get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we were talking to John in Fort Worth about a memorial tree for an important friend that they lost. David, you there?
Yes, this is John. I'm here.
John, I'm sorry. And you were mentioning a few trees, and I have a couple more maybe to add to that. Did you have any more on your list? You were mentioning the crabapple, special kind of crabapple, and the desert willow. Did you ever?
No, those are the three that my wife had Googled up, and out of the three, I'm hearing out of those three that the desert willow would be the most bulletproof for us.
Probably so. There's a couple more, though, to at least look at. Two natives that, for us here, are both Mexican-named plants. One is Mexican buckeye.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty bulletproof and really pretty. It has a real pretty yellow fall color. Some years it's spectacular, really nice, and other years it'll be kind of like some of the other yellow trees that we have. But it has flowers like a red bud that come on the tree after the red bud. So if you use that tree and a red bud together, you get a longer lasting spring flowering. And also the seed pods are very decorative that it has later in the, you know, in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And it's good and it's available. The other one's Mexican plum, and Mexican plum has real pretty bark. It has an exfoliating bark. It has very fragrant white flowers in the spring, and they don't last a long time, but they're just delightful. They're so wonderfully fragrant. And then the fall color is a little unusual because it's kind of an orange color that you don't see in a lot of other plants. So it's a good one. The only negative thing about Mexican plum to some people is that it is well armed. It does have thorns. But I think that group is probably what you ought to look at and decide which one would be the best for the use you're talking about. And they're all good plants, you know, for landscaping.
Mexican buckeye, Mexican plum, and the desert willow.
Mm-hmm. Those would probably be my top three choices, yeah. And kind of a personal opinion about which one of those to go with.
And you mentioned something about the desert willow that some people don't like. Could you go over that again?
It tends to be a little bit wild-looking for some people and a little bit stemmy. It'll tend to have the foliage out on the ends of the branches, and you'll see quite a bit of more of a bushy kind of a effect rather than a strong central trunk and then a more typical tree-like form. It can be trimmed into a very nice tree. There's one in Dallas. There's one on just off of Central Expressway on the, Knox Henderson exit. And you go west, and it's the Container Store, I believe it is. Has a Xeric kind of a landscape out in front. It's right across from the Apple Store. And there's one that's a single stem desert willow in that little garden there. It's probably got a trunk diameter of 8 or 10 inches and a real nice tree-like form on the top. So it depends on how you maintain it and what it looks like, whether it's already real bushy when you buy it.
I'm probably going to be getting a somewhat of a smaller tree. And honestly, based on my gardening experience, once I get it established, it's probably going to be left all on its own.
Well, the desert willow fits that bill. It of the three we're talking about, it's probably the most sensitive to get established because it can be easily overwatered. And it can be underwatered as well. It's kind of like the native cedars in that regard. The buckeyes are a little bit more forgiving to get going. But that, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I just wanted to give you all the facts.
Okay. So tell me, I don't want to take everybody's time, but here, when I first get to, I'll follow your instructions, plant it real high and dig the ugly hole and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But once, how should I water this to get established?
Well, the best thing to do is to plant it with the techniques that we cover in the book and on the website and just thoroughly, thoroughly saturate it. Put a very light covering mulch on it that goes from a couple of inches thick out at the edge of the outside edge of the hole, getting thinner and thinner to nothing at the trunk.
Yep.
And then going into the cool season that we're going into now, you may not have to water it again if we get any rain. You just have to monitor it. I think it'd be very important for you to get a probe, break a head off of an old golf club, probe the soil. When it's starting to dry out on the soil, check and see how it's doing down in the ground, and then soak again. Don't do light sprinkling so much, but soak the plant so the water gets really down into the soil.
Okay. And then once I get it established, and come spring,
you probably don't need to worry about it. The watering of the of your garden in general and the rain is enough for desert willow.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Good luck.
All right.
Keep me posted.
All right. Bye.
866-444-3478. Soil moisture. I need to make a note here. Something I need to tell you about that. Something I just ran into that's interesting. Right now, Ruth in Fort Worth. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I have a problem with the grapevines on my fence, and we finally pulled them all off, and I want to know what's a good vine that I can put on my fence.
What did you not like about the grapevine?
Well, they just grow everywhere. Just
too rambunctious?
Oh, yes, and the birds get the fruit, so.
Well, there's a whole bunch of choices. I'm sorry that my timing's bad here. Can you hold through this break, and then we'll talk about several that I'd recommend and why, okay?
Yes, okay.
Okay, I'll be back in just a bit. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure black cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website, Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, and we're back with Ruth in Fort Worth talking about vines for a fence. You there, Ruth?
Yes, I am. And one I don't want is crossvine. I have some of those, and they're just too invasive. We have fierce sandy soil here. And
it can become invasive.
But I like it, but I don't want any more of it.
All right. Well, let me tell you, there's a bunch of vines that are invasive. I've got one of my favorite vines at home is a white passion vine, and it pops up all over the place. It's very easy to pull it up and make it not a problem. But if you want vines that are non-invasive, and I assume this is full sun.
Well, no, not too. No, it's mixed.
Okay. Well, the ones that will fit in a mixed light situation, one would be a Carolina jessamine. It has yellow flowers in the springtime. And the other one is, there's two that are kind of in the same category, I guess. One is a fall clematis that behaves itself pretty well.
Autumn clematis?
Yeah.
I have one of them.
Yeah, it's white flowers in the fall. The other is a jasmine. It's a Confederate jasmine that will bloom, has wonderful fragrance. And it can be kept under control pretty easily as well. Its only negative that I need to tell you about is that sometimes it can get some freeze damage.
Oh, uh-huh.
So there's no perfect vine. All of these have some little issue. One of my favorite ones that I have at my office right now that comes back, it's a perennial and comes back, dies to the ground in the winter, but it's called coral vine, and it will It doesn't pop up all over the place, but the top itself, it grows a lot, kind of like the grapevine that you don't like. I mean, it gets big.
Uh-huh.
And it flowers late summer, and it's still flowering like crazy right now. It's just a gorgeous vine called coral vine. The one
I may try that.
Yeah, the one that's the toughest is the pink one. My white ones and red ones were completely killed by the winter, and it may have been my cavalier attitude about maintaining them. I try to let everything have a tough life and see how well they're going to last, and the only one that did was the one that's pink.
Oh, uh-huh.
Let's see, what else?
I have some other questions. What about the pine needles under my pine tree? Should I just leave them there as mulch?
Yeah, when they fall down, naturally, that's as good a mulch as you can have. Just don't let them build up right on the base of the tree. A pine has a flare just like other trees. It's just not quite as dramatic. Just don't let it build up right at the base of the tree.
Okay, and what about my rusty black haw viburnum? I bought it for a tree, but it's a bush, and I want it to be a tree. Should I cut off all the lower branches?
Yeah, but you're going to do a little bit of you're going to create a little bit of shock for it. Is it healthy, real pretty?
Oh, it's just beautiful. That's why I haven't done anything to it yet.
Okay. Do it slowly. Take a couple of limbs off 1 year and a couple more the next year. Don't do it all at once. Some plants, cedar elm is in this category. If you prune them too heavily on the bottom, if you lift them too much, you can stress them and even kill them. And I don't know, rusty black haw viburnum is a wonderful native plant, but it's a little bit delicate if it gets into stress.
Oh. I don't want to stress it. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you one more thing about the rose hips. I have a rose bush that is just covered with rose hips this year, and I don't know the best way to use them.
Well, the rose hips come out, you know, after the rose has faded, and some roses don't have a big enough hip to even mess with. If your roses do have pretty big hips, you just don't deadhead them. You let the rose petals fall, and you let that hip, that fruit, develop behind the flower.
Yeah.
And then you cut it off and use it when it's red.
Well, how do I use it? Do I mash them up?
You mash them up and put them in teas. Chop them up and put them in salads. You can use them any way you want.
Okay. Well, that's my list of things I need.
Okay, Ruth. Good luck with your vine work.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Patrick in Dallas, listening on 660. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, good morning, Howard. I planted some knockout rose bushes up near my house about 2.5-3 years ago, and I've got some big oak trees out front, so I get beautiful blooms right in the spring, and then nothing once the leaves come in completely on the tree because they're not getting enough sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, what would you recommend? I'd like something that can grow at least about 3 feet tall, but in the summer doesn't get much sunlight at all. If you could recommend something to put in front of my house.
Well, write down these. Turk's cap, I have a lot of them, and they're blooming in the shade at my place right now. I've got also a spring bloomer called oak leaf hydrangea that will get taller than 3 feet. It'll get quite a bit taller than that, but it's a beautiful plant, and you ought to look at that one. We've had something interesting happen this year. I had some hibiscus, some tropical hibiscus that we've had in pots for several years, been moving them in and out of the greenhouse, and we kind of got tired of that, and we decided just to stick them in the ground. And we have hibiscus blooming all summer this year on those plants that are in fairly shady some pretty heavily shady conditions. So that's something you can do almost on an annual basis. Buy some hibiscus in the spring when it's warm and plant them, and you can get away with more shade and have flowers than most folks think. What else? We've got salvia blooming all over the place in the shade. The blue salvias, salvia Greg, I likes full sun more than the blue ones, but several of those blue salvias do very well in the shade. We've got some angel trumpets that just got through blooming, and they're blooming in the shade. What else do I have that's really got a lot of flowers in the shade? Those are the main ones.
Okay. And do they have, will they keep their, excuse my ignorance here, will they keep their leaves and during the wintertime also, or do these...
Well, everything I talked about there is going to be bare for you in the winter. Turk's cap, the hydrangea, the oak leaf hydrangea, the tropical hibiscus are going to die. You know,
right.
you're treating them as an annual. But they come back in the spring and do really well for you. As far as something that would stay around in the winter, probably the best one is rosemary, but rosemary really needs full sun. It's going to have a hard, it's going to struggle in a shady situation. I have Ojasanta in shade, and it's starting to bloom right now with this real pretty little long finger-like white flowers. But it's another perennial. It dies all the way to the ground. Has great big leaves and a beautiful plant, but it dies all the way to the ground.
Okay. And is there a best time of year to plant these, or are they all are they going to be different, each one?
Well, the woody ones, like the hydrangea and the Turk's cap, the best time to plant is this afternoon, you know.
Okay, well.
Yeah, plant them in the fall, and you'll be off and running in the spring. They'll do beautifully for you. I have red ones and pink ones, by the way. They come in both colors. And those are some of the best of the flowering ones. The rest of the things that we have are pretty much evergreen or some kind of an annual that we deal with off and on in the shade. The annual that we've had blooming like crazy this year in the shade is called dragon wing begonia, and in pots it's doing beautifully, and in the beds it's doing beautifully as well. The only place it got in trouble was where the soil got dry, and that's related to a little story I wanted to work in here at some time. Give those a shot, Patrick, and I think you'll enjoy them.
Great. Thanks so much, Howard.
I appreciate your call. Let's talk, let's catch up on these calls, and then I'll get into that soil thing I was going to tell you about. Dave in Aledo, Texas. Hi, Dave.
Good morning to you, Howard.
Morning to you, sir.
Well, I had called you a while back about my big old oak tree in the front yard.
Yeah.
And I did the root flare thing. I scraped all, I put a bunch of tree mulch around it, but I got it too thick. You know, ground up chips. So I scraped that back, and I put a couple of bags of the chick tree treatment I got at Russell's. And it seems to be getting worse, not better. I got probably 20% of the leaves on the southwest side are brown. And I put that stuff out right before that last big rain we had, so it got watered in pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And you have exposed the flare.
Yeah, well, I took it back down. See, it had grown fine with the rocks around it, so I took all back down to that, and I didn't take the rocks away, but, you know, it had been growing just fine, so I took all the mulch away, pulled it away from the bark.
Okay. Well, that wouldn't have hurt the tree. And what kind of oak is it?
You know, I'm not a good oak person.
Is it deciduous? Does it lose its leaves in the winter?
Yes.
Okay, red oak or bur oak or something like that, probably. Who has a product called the Sick Tree Treatment, by the way? What brand was it?
I got it at Russell's. I don't know.
Because the Sick Tree Treatment is not a product. It's a process. It's a procedure.
Okay.
Which is to aerate the soil and then put out the amendments that I recommend. You know, compost, lava, sand, green sand, cornmeal, and dry molasses. And I don't know, Gardenville did one at one time, and maybe Rabbit Hill did one or something, but none of them ever had all the ingredients, because if you put cornmeal in a bag with all those other amendments, you will have a stink that will run everybody in the neighborhood away.
Well, I got 2.5 acres, and it's not a little place. I don't have anybody close around me, and I 13 years that we've been here, I've tried not to put any kind of chemicals on the property at all.
Okay. Well, look at the ingredients on that bag, whoever made it, and I'm sure it doesn't have cornmeal in it, and that's an important ingredient that you need to add. So look at the ingredients on the bag. Compare that to my explanation of the Sick Tree Treatment on the website or in my books, if you got any of them, and put the other amendments that are there. The most important one is Garrett juice as the last step, sprayed on the foliage and on the bark of the trunk and on the ground. And if you get one that has mycorrhizae in it, like the Maestro Grow product, if not, that's the best. But if not, buy a mycorrhizal fungus product and add it to the Garrett juice mixture.
Okay. Now, out here, I live in Aledo, and who would you recommend for a tree company if I decided to get one? I know you'd recommend more, but I don't know if they come out this far.
They may not come that far. Boy, I tell you, Fort Worth's a hard place to make a recommendation. I haven't got a lot of good ones. Let me put you on hold and we'll chat just briefly off the air. If anybody has some good recommendations on Fort Worth tree people, let us know. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be back right after this. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels. But did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body. And elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation. circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. We were talking about tree care in Fort Worth, and this goes for people listening anywhere in the country. Any arborist, any tree care company that's a qualified company can do the natural organic approach. And so when you're interviewing them, just kind of talk a little bit about what kind of techniques they use, what kind of fertilizers, what kind of, how interested are they in the root flare or trunk flare management, and things like that, and you'll be able to get a pretty good feel quickly whether it's somebody that will be comfortable for you to work with or not. I think a lot of it, whatever contractor you're talking about, it's just a comfort level of who you hire and how well you're going to be able to work together more than anything. But if they try to argue that organics is silly and doesn't work and things like that, hang up and call somebody else. Somebody called in and recommended gave a suggestion of Folks and Norman as one landscape company in Fort Worth that does organics. I've talked to them off and on through the years, and they always talk with me about being interested in the natural organic approach. I just pulled up their website, and there's not one word of it on their website. So I don't know, but that's at least for the people in Fort Worth that were asking, that's at least one possibility. Before we go back to the phones, something I've been promising to talk about, we're doing a new project at our home where we have had a failure of an old sewer line. It's Roseburg, the old Roseburg stuff, which is made out of tar paper, believe it or not. It was done during the war when metal was at a shortage, is how it all got started. And it has held up remarkably well in a lot of projects, considering what it's made out of. They did layers and layers of paper and tar and created a pipe, that has no metal in it. Anyway, tree roots are through it, and it's been a problem 2-3 times. We should have done something a long time ago. We finally are doing it, and we're starting to dig to find out where the existing line is and locate the tree roots and make the decision about whether we're going to need to do the real final trenching with an air spade, or can do it by hand and get the pipe through without hurting the tree that's very close and all that stuff. And we discovered something kind of interesting. Down below about a foot in my garden area where this is going through, the soil is dry as a bone. And it really made me think about some of the questions that have been coming in about native trees dying here and there in several parts of the country, but especially here in Texas where we've been in a drought, and the right kind of watering to do. Running a sprinkler system when you're going through a drought time, and it's really been a long time since you've had good rains, and when you get them, they're kind of fast and furious, and they a lot of it, you know, runs off the surface and all that. For those people, including me, I've had to admit that I'm been bad about this. You need to put a garden hose out on your, especially where you have valuable trees, and let the hose run like 12 hours at a time. Slowly move it somewhere else. Let it soak down, because the sprinkler system, whether you're using one at the end of a hose you're moving around yourself, or you have an automatic sprinkler system, or even if you have a drip system, unless you're flooding really drenching areas from time to time, you're not going to be getting that moisture down deep enough in the soil, especially for your valuable trees, and you're going to start seeing, you know, some issues with the health of the trees. And I need to do the same thing, and I've started doing it, and it especially hit me in the upside the head when I was digging down the ground and seeing how dry it became about a foot down in the ground. Now, we're hitting caliche, you know, crumbled up limestone, and then hard rock on down below that. So you got that issue, but still, there should be some moisture down there. The surface, you know, the top 6-8 inches is just the most beautiful soil you've ever seen, being organic for as long as we have. The fragrance is terrific working in it. But moisture, I could have done a lot better job. And most of you out there, especially when you're having trouble with those native post oaks and other native trees, you've got to get some way to get some water out there in a different way. Flood the area, let a hose run for a long time to soak down in the soil, and then move it around. How often do you do it? Who knows? Depends on how long the drought stays around. When it's really hot in the summer and you got a drought too, that soil down in the ground goes away pretty quickly, and you have to do this on some kind of regular basis, maybe once a month, this deep watering like that. Back to the phones. I've got one more thing like that to cover in a minute too. Doris is at Cedar Creek Lake. Hi, Doris.
Hi, Howard. You was commenting earlier in your program about your white blooming passion vine being invasive,
mm-hmm.
and comes up all over the place.
Well, it's not really terribly invasive. It just kind of pops up here and there, and it's easy to pull out.
Well, my question is, how hard would it be? How much would I have to beg for a start of that?
Send me an email, and we're going to be propagating some more of it. It's easy to propagate, and making it available to the members of the Organic Club of America for sure. But let me know how to get a hold of you, and I'll get you fixed up one way or the other.
I'll get you an email right away, and thank you very much.
I appreciate the call, Doris. Thank you.
Bye.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. This is the end of this hour. We've got another one for a lot of you. Most of the radio stations carry the third hour. A lot of them do. Those that don't, you people can listen online at dirtdoctor.com. We also have the podcast, and we also have the app that where you can listen to the show anytime during the week. Telephone number to be with me, 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back.